Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, Scan 2802, on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I'll be your co-host tonight. Co-host means that there should be a host here, but there isn't. I'm here alone right now. but once a month, we have 8 different people once a month come on and do the Tuesday and Thursday shows, and we call them hyphenates or co-hosts. What we mean by hyphenate is that these people are both survivors of child abuse in some manner and are professional in some manner, too. And then there is one time a week, not every month, but several months, one time a month, that we have 5 weeks on either a Tuesday or a Thursday. When that occurs, I fill in. So tonight is the fifth Tuesday of November. And I'm turning the page now because this is the last day of November. Tomorrow's the first. All right. We are an organization of active volunteers who are all engaged in the issue of child abuse and trauma recovery. Child abuse meaning anything that can happen to a child in his or her youth. And for our purposes, youth is anything up until 18 or age of reason. That would be, it could be sexual, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be through neglect. In other words, we don't cover just one kind of abuse, we cover them all. And we try to reach out to people as early as we can. We'd like to reach them. Of course, we're reaching adults, not children, because we are not an organization with a trained staff and paid staff, for that matter, who can work with kids. We can talk about working with kids, and we certainly talk with adults who work with kids, other adults who work with kids, to help them understand the issues that the kids are going through from our perspective, because we've all gone through child abuse. And there are many things that are similar, and there are many that might be different, but there are great similarities in the experience after the abuse, which is called trauma. Trauma then is the essential feelings that you have that no one, you know, people who are not traumatized don't have. And there's some that are fairly easy to understand and are knowledgeable. We're all knowledgeable about such things as post-traumatic stress disorder. That just simply means that there was something that occurred at one point in our life, and now we are having a stress disorder, a trauma after that event. Now, we used to think of soldiers as having this, but and now we believe that all children who are abused also experience, almost all of them, post-traumatic stress disorder. Some experience many other things too. A lot of us are substance abusers because we're trying to cover up the horrible feelings that we have, and those feelings include, you know, being ashamed, being angry, being confused, lost, and so forth. And in order to fix how we feel, we will drink or use drugs because that makes us feel different. It doesn't fix, it doesn't change the root of what we feel, but it does temporarily make us change our emotional state in the moment when we are drinking. And then, you know, what happens is you get, you sober up and and there's the problem again. So that is something that, however, many of us tried, and I certainly did. There are other things that we do. We overeat. We can be, you know, very, very bad in our employment or in our workspace or in our schooling. And then on the other hand, we can be obsessive about that so that we insist on calling ourselves a failure if we don't get every course in school as a straight A. And as a result, there are quite a few of our survivor community who are well educated and who have done that earlier than they got into recovery, pretty much basically because it made them, at least they thought that they would come to terms with their child abuse. They'd feel better about themselves. So low self-esteem would go away. Well, it doesn't go away. And almost all of us have low self-esteem. The abuses that we experience, sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, happen in three different worlds, basically. They happen in our home world, with our family, growing up and so forth. They happen in our community, and that would be with people who are, you know, basically asked by our parents to take care of us, like a teacher, a babysitter, a Boy Scout coach, a minister. And then the third category is the stranger. And that, unfortunately, has traditionally been the only person we've really talked about to our children and to each other. We've feared stranger. We call it stranger danger. We don't want our children to hook up with someone they don't know. Well, that's a good idea. But the point is that they're more likely, far more likely, to be abused by someone they do know or their own relative. The statistics for the sexual assault of kids some years ago now made this obvious, because I believe it was 67%, 63% of children who were abused sexually, it happened in the home or in the extended family, but it would happen with relatives, like mom or dad, or dad's best friend from the army who he considers his brother, you know, our uncle, and so forth, or mom's new boyfriend. These are people who abuse in the house, in the relationship with their brothers and sisters. And that's the biggest category of all. The second biggest category is the caregiver community. Community abuse occurs, as I said before, among people like teachers and babysitters and ministers and coaches and Boy Scout masters. These are not related to us, but they're generally people who our parents have taken the time to make arrangements so that we can be supervised, basically, and perhaps sometimes educated or given good experiences. So they are actually brought in innocently enough by our parents. But the point is that the community out there of adults has a certain percentage of adults who will be abusive to children. We don't know why. We don't really know why. We're studying it all the time. And we're hoping that we can come up with why, because if we can come up with why, and it comes down to, let's say it's a virus or it's a gene, you know, then we have something we could move towards relief for these folks. But right now there doesn't appear to be any relief. That if a person gets an appetite for using kids, they will not be able to get out of that appetite. Get away from that appetite once it's set in. And it might be possible when a child is young and they're teenagers or something, to do work with them if we find them out and change the course of their life. But for the most part, once it's set in, it's very, very unlikely that it's going to go away. And we've tried all kinds of things. We've tried chemical things. We've tried surgical things. We've tried emotional things like therapies. We've tried spiritual things like Bible studies and so forth. We've tried electronic, shock. We've tried many, many things, and drug therapies. Nothing has significantly worked. There is very small attempts at staying away from our children, but if we don't stay, if we as the community that's letting them back out into society after they've been caught and then treated, don't take very good, very, very good care of observing what's going on with these folks, then we are, we are likely to have them reestablish relationships with children, because it's the appetite, as I said before. I use that word because people know what an appetite is. So if you have a hankering for, an appetite for something, you crave it, you want it, you prefer it to anything else. Maybe you have an appetite for desserts, Well, you can't stay away from the desserts. You can't stop eating desserts. You can skip the meat and potatoes part, but you can't skip desserts. With our predators, they can't skip the youngster. They can even have relationships with the opposite sex that are adult relationships. So you'll find pedophiles who are engaged in families. They have their own family. They have their own career. They are us. They look like us. The one thing they have is hidden. Obviously, it's a hidden thing. And that is the desire to have sex with kids or to abuse kids. And they can't get over that desire. Where does it come from? Well, we don't know. We think some of it might be passed on from one generation to another when children grow up and they've been growing up in a home which was abusive to them. They may model that same behavior in their own home when they are themselves adults, so that it's a mocking, a copying of the pattern that mom or dad did to them, for example. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. Sometimes mom and dad will encourage them, actually. Predators, the only people they can get along with, frankly, are other predators. They can't get along with the rest of us, but there are plenty of predators, and they are hiding in plain sight. They tend to gravitate for careers and situations which involve children, because that's what the kinds of predator we're talking about, the pedophile and so forth, is after. That's who they're attracted to. So that means that they're going to become teachers, camp counselors, coaches, anything that gets them close to children. They want to do that. They're not going to abuse every child either. A minister who has a pedophilic background is not going to announce that he's a pedophile once he gets to the new parish, but he will, over time, he will pick out the children that have been damaged in the sense that they have very low self-esteem. And they are vulnerable, and the pedophile will attach himself or herself to that child and figure out how to groom that child, and that means that they can tempt the child with various ways. They tempt the child or groom the child into getting closer and closer to themselves, the pedophile, and then eventually they don't have to groom them anymore; they've got them. But I was groomed, for example, when my original pedophile gave me photographic equipment, which I was very interested in, at about 11 years old. And I was just fascinated by the cameras that he had. He had several Nikon cameras, and he had dark rooms, a couple of them that I experienced. He had thousands and thousands of photographs, including many thousands of me. I knew him over 3 years, and each time we got together, he would teach me a little more. Eventually, I became his model. Eventually, I became this was after the third year, I became an item that he could offer others. But let me get back to what I was saying. That's grooming. And it's very difficult for children to see all these things that we're talking about. They would much rather believe that the adults in their lives are going to be caregivers. We teach the kids, in our world, to trust that priest, for example, or the cop, or the teacher. And we'd like to be able to do that. Nowadays, though, we are recommending that more and more often there be a second adult in the group when a child is being taught or being given opportunities, being therapized, getting counseling. The point is that if you have two adults and a child, it's far less likely that one adult can convince the other adult that child abuse, sexual child abuse, was okay. So you have less of an opportunity to have sexual assault going on. The child also, should not be alone with an adult. So children should be in groups with an adult, just like adults should be in groups with children. And you can easily see how you have more of an opportunity if you're a pedophile to pull a person aside to speak to them when no one else realizes you are. It certainly happened to me, because they can't hear what you're saying. If they only see that you're leaned over as an adult to talk to the child, they can't see what the child is hearing. You can do it almost right in front of people. In fact, you can. In some cases, you can do it right in front of people and coerce the child to do whatever it is you want. Now, those are the four kinds of traumas that we can have, of abuses that we can have: sexual, emotional, and physical, and through neglect. And each one results in trauma. And each one will earn you a spot at NASPA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, because we do not measure people's trauma or what they've gone through in the past against anyone else's past or anyone else's trauma. If you have even one instance of the kind of trauma that we're discussing this evening and you're still bothered by it, if you still think about it, if you still mull it over, you ask yourself, why did that happen to me? How could I have done differently? Why me? Then you have probably not dealt with recovery at all, and you're in. Even if there was only one case of one type of child abuse, you're in, if you say you are, because we don't measure people's trauma. Our expression is that you join us if you say you're a member, you're a member. So we don't test the membership. We don't hold people to a standard or anything like that. If you say you were an abused child and you want to be in recovery as an adult, then you're part of NASCA and part of the NASCA family, what we call it. The NASCA family is made up of many thousands now across the world, although we began with the notion that we were probably going to be national, hence the name National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, but it wasn't very long before people in Canada and Mexico and in other English-speaking countries, because of the Internet, found us and interacted with us. So we have membership from all across the globe, especially in countries where English is the main language, but also in countries where English is not the main language, but it's occasionally spoken. So we have, for example, every English-speaking country in Europe and in Asia and in in Africa, and there are quite a few whose first language is English. And then there'd be some countries, for example, let's take Africa. There are some countries where English is not the primary language, but in our search, we have found meanings that are being held in English. So when we find those, even though it's in a country that's not known for speaking English, we list them. And where I'm getting to now is one of our biggest tools and most popular is our groups and services tool, which is a global tool. You will find groups and services all over the globe, and we list them as many as we can find. The place to find that tool, by the way, is off of our website. It's the first link on our website. And I don't think I said the name of the website. It's NASCA.org, NASCA.org, NASCA.org. When you go to NASCA.org, you will see a list, a line that's deep red. And the first, and these are pull-down menus. You just hover your mouse over them and you'll see the menu fall down. NASCA programs, news articles, and stats, all about recovery, protecting our kids, and participate at NASCA. So the first link under the first of these pull-down menus, Global Recovery Groups, is where you click. And that page will open up on top of the group page. And you'll see, as you come down, we have them listed by continent, by country, by continent, and by English first, and then countries that are not English. But there are quite a few non-English speaking countries by continent listed as well. And then as you peruse this tool, you will be able to click on, for example, in the United States, any state you want has an independent file that lists all the groups and organizations that we know of that deal with childhood trauma. Some also deal with domestic violence because some places deal with both. But our focus is childhood trauma and recovery from trauma. So you go to Kentucky, you'll find the groups from Kentucky. You go to Rhode Island, you find the groups from Rhode Island. You go to California, you find the groups from California, and there's pages after page after page in a state that big. But you'll also see groups from all the provinces of Canada, from U.S. territories around the country, around the world, from English-speaking countries in Africa, Australia, the British Isles, India, Israel, and New Zealand. And we really recommend that you take advantage of this tool. And it's interactive so that if you find a meeting, a group that's not listed on our page, we provide an information, an email address, where you can send that information, and we will add it to our list here. It happens very quickly, by the way. So you just tell us, and a day or two later, it shows up on in the right section on one of these files. Now, I mentioned NASCA.org. I'm going to talk about the website in a little bit. I got off the track there. But then first, the next thing I want to talk about is that, as I say, we have a mission that includes helping understand, child abuse, sexual abuse, and sexual abuse, violent or physical abuse, emotional trauma, and neglect. And you can see this again on the front page of the website. Near the top, there's in a pink box. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. And then we list the two goals. And this is all we do. One, we educate the public, especially as it's related to helping society get over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, which is sometimes referred to as CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And I will say here that there are no countries where there isn't child abuse. And there are some countries where it's even worse. Child abuse is even worse because it's almost cultural when the child abuse occurs. In our country, it's very bad. But we think that perhaps one out of four girls and one out of five boys will experience childhood sexual abuse before they're 18 years old. Let me say that again. One out of four girls, and one out of five, one fifth boys, 20%, will be sexually assaulted before they're 18. Now, that means millions and millions and millions of us here in the United States alone. But that has been a statistic that's been borne out and used for several years now, because it's related to a study that was done by the CDC that I think probably should be updated at this point. But those are the figures that were given once that topic was studied. All right. So the two goals are: one, educating the public, especially as relating to get society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, or CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We want people to understand how big of a problem this is, and that it's not just us, it's everyone, right? And number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, hope and healing, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Prevention, intervention, and recovery. So let me go over that one again, too. Offering hope and healing. So we come together as a community of people who are in recovery in various places in our own personal recovery, but we testify, if you want to call it that, with each other by going on a radio show principally, or perhaps appearing at meetings, or at functions where we give talks, honestly telling people what our story was. Because if we honestly tell our story, it can't help but impress others who are still hanging on to the fear of telling their story. And eventually, one of the best ways to affect a person to relate their story is our relating ours. And they begin to trust that, if we can talk like that, maybe they can too. And so offering hope and healing through numerous paths. Now, numerous paths is, there are many, many ways that you can heal. And we'll talk about them in a second too. For example, there's psychiatry, okay? There is psychology. There are counselors. There are coaches, life coaches, and ministers. There are professionals of all different kinds who are trained in things like EMDR and hypnosis and so forth. In any case, there are many different paths to help us get better, and we don't tell people which of those paths they have to take. Me personally, my path was the 12-step program, that when I found the 12-step program, I was already dealing with my child abuse issues in my head. It was one of the reasons I drank. And I realized that the 12-step issues could also be related to my child abuse, and therefore they could be dealt with as child abuse issues. So I did that. I dealt with both the abuses that were related to the self-abuse that was related to drinking and using drugs, but also the abuse that had been done to me as a child that I had not yet really talked about. This is by way of saying that adult survivors of child abuse carry information for anyone that's interested in the many, many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Prevention, intervention, and recovery are sort of the three legs of the stool that are included in what NASCA does in their mission here. Prevention being training children with techniques and information that help them to avoid being abused to begin with. For example, perhaps when you were growing up, they gave you abuse training that was related to stranger danger. What I said before, when I said that 63%, 70% of abuse happened in adults and in home, there's 30-something percent that occurred then in the communities, like that I said, but I didn't say the rest of it is strangers. And that number is about 7%. So you can see how small it is, yet it's the only one that we really talk to our children about, stranger danger. We're afraid to offer to our children the real facts on prevention, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves if we knew about it ahead of time and they are made susceptible to predators. So that's prevention, teaching the child. Intervention is instructing adults on how to do some of this. Adults who are sensitive enough can find many things in their life that should be looked at more carefully. And that would be things like someone's attention that they're giving to a child is too much attention, gifts that were given to them, opportunities that were given to them, which is how it happened with me. It was just opportunity. And whatever it is, we have to be sensitive enough to recognize it and to take action by involving the child in conversations at the age-appropriate level. We're able to ask them to tell us stories about what they've been doing with this person, but not by blaming the child or blaming the predator, frankly, because the child already has a relationship with the predator that they're going to try to protect. And in trying to protect the predator, the child, you shouldn't be in there, roaring in there. You shouldn't be doing things like, screaming out loud, oh my God, you're kidding, you did that, oh, I can't believe it, that, telling them, I'm going to kill that person and so forth. No, you just take the information in quietly, basically, as you can, and then you turn that information over to the correct kind of groups. There are many places to turn over groups, information about the suspicion of child abuse in the adult community. They would include, for example, law enforcement. They might include child protective services. They might include counselors. They might include, psychologists. They might include depends on where these people are from, the hierarchy of their organization, and so forth. But you want to turn over the information you have once you suspect that child abuse has occurred, because if you don't turn it over, if you don't turn the news over, it doesn't happen. And what I mean by that is I'm also very involved with public safety issues, and I know that there's often more crime in a neighborhood than is known, because that many of the crimes that are committed are never reported. People are reluctant to turn over information when they believe that it's likely that they're going to be known. Who turned in this information? Well, it was him over here. And there might be retaliation for that. So you have to be knowledgeable about that, too, that would help you, to teach intervention. And then recovery, as I say, is through many paths. And I always include, of course, 12-step programs because it's what I went through, and I still maintain. But there is no insistence on our part at NASCA that anyone recover in any particular way. So we recommend all the ways that a child, an adult who was abused as a child can experience recovery. And we want people to pick the ones that seem most comfortable to them, or that they're most likely to engage in, because if you don't try these things, you don't know if they're going to work or not. So I did try, and fortunately found the 12-step program for me. But there's also, as I say, ministry, religious groups. There are psychologists. There are psychiatrists, which have the ability to give out medication, psychiatrists. There are counselors of different kinds, psychologists. There are group dynamics. There are single dynamics. There are many, 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 and we don't have an opinion about, you'll find some groups tell you have to do this and you must do that. They'll even grade you on how much you've achieved. And I've seen people kind of earn badges because they're considered that they've succeeded up to a certain point for the group and then and what the group offers. Well, we don't do that to people. The recovery itself is the gift that once we start to recover, begin to understand that we are not that different, that we are not unique, that many people around us, including all these family members we've been meeting, are abuse victims too, that we're not the only ones, that there are many experiences similar to ours, and some that are not, but many that are, and that we will, over time, be able to identify with people and have them identify with us. So this is the course that we take. We have many ways to repeat those stories. Primary among them is what you're listening to now, which is the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show. We do 5 of these a week, and the shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are adult survivor of child abuse that are done by people telling their story. And we have hosts that lead them through the story of their life and help them to relate it to us. We pause a few times during each show and have anybody who's joined us, which we call the panel, anyone who's in our panel, to ask a question or make a comment to our child abuse victim, now survivor, who's telling their story. And that way, we have a lot of interaction with the person that's in recovery, and we learn things very quickly when we talk to people who are in recovery and we ourselves are willing to be honest, because frankly, being honest, telling your story, is the big secret. we are extremely good at keeping secrets, and we do it almost professionally. child abuse victims are terrified on many different levels that they will be judged, that their peers will think less of them. So what we do is we find people who are around us who we can be around, but we don't have to talk to about our child abuse, and we skip that part of our life, which is so important. Well, in recovery, what we do is we find a group of people who do want to hear from us and who are there because they want to share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Along with any one of the 30-something programs that we have at NASCA, all of them free. We have a second one that deals with internet meetings, and that's on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday when over Zoom we have a group meeting 3 times a week, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and those are kind of sharing meetings, and there are different leaders for each of those groups. So these are the two main ways that we have. But you also have functions that you go to, people that you're in, places where you're invited to. We frequently are invited to other people's shows, and we also frequently have plenty of people in our own shows who over time we've come to know as, survivors of child abuse who we like our following to know very well. So I see that I have a panelist here tonight, and that's Carol Levine. Carol D. Levine is our vice president. I'm the president of the corporation. I didn't say that before. I'm the founder and president, and Carol is one of the longest engaged child abuse survivor with NASCA, and I'm delighted to welcome her to the air tonight. She does host a number of these shows each week. Tonight she had an event that she had to go to first, and now she's freed herself up, and now she's back home and on the air. Let me welcome her. Carol Levine, thank you very much for being with me and for showing up tonight.
Yeah, well, I got here as fast as I could. You know, I had some things I had to take care of with some people that needed help. And that's what we do at NASCA. Okay. You know, when asked, you know, we help.
Right. And Carol is, I'd say, one of the most engaged of all of us and the longest engaged volunteer, I think, or pretty close to do this. And she, among other things, she does quite a few things. Among other things, though, is she's on our contact phone list, which I do recommend people take a look at. The contact phone list are volunteers of people who are willing to answer questions and to provide other resources to callers who come in. See, we don't have an 800 number. We don't have a treasury. So, but we do. What we do have is people who are willing. So we list them on the website, and it tells basically, you know, simple information about them, their name, where they're from, their state, and their email and phone number. Most people contact them by phone number, which is the idea. And Carol asked me to list her as the night owl. So because she's listed as the night owl, one of few that's listed that way, she gets a lot of those nighttime calls. And we're really appreciative, Carol, that you do that job.
Well, you know, Bill, I thought you'd stop. I'm on brand new phones, by the way, so I'm not sure I like them yet. It sounds a little rough. But anyway, being in that position, you do receive a lot of phone calls, both from men and women, sometimes kids. There's 17, 18-year-old kids that follow our show. But I don't know if you know that or not, but I have spoken to some of them who are in trouble, and then I'd go to them if they were nearby, you know. And a lot of times they are. They're not that far away. But anyway, being the night owl, then I have to sleep in the daytime. I'm totally different than other people. So, you know, but I don't mind having that position because in the AM, Bill, a lot of times people do not, you know, they have nowhere to turn to if they're having nightmares or they can't sleep because they got triggered during the course of the day, or whatever the case might be, okay? And so therefore, we do have people that write books now that have workbooks, and I do think that that's something to take advantage of. I know Sharon Higdon-Jones, who's not on our show right now, she won't be for, I guess, about a year, and I do miss her. But she has had written workbooks, and there are other people as well, other authors. And those are things good to have so that in the AM hours, not only do you have that person's regular book, maybe a memoir, like mine's a memoir, but they also have workbooks. And so a lot of times what I do, though, is I talk people down because they call, they're hysterical, or they're totally depressed, and that you have to be careful with. So, you know, it can turn into an hour and a half conversation. Yeah, it can easily.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Yeah, it does with me too, because we're known in the NASCA community as people who have a lot of experience, especially Carol and I. But we're among the most experienced that regularly participate at NASCA. So people will befriend us, and they'll stay on the phone a long time sometimes. But that's I've just been presenting NASCA, and I got up to services that the Global Recovery Group services, and then I had just mentioned our mission statement. I talked about the radio show here, which, by the way, I didn't get to finish, but the five-night-a-week radio show, which you're listening to right now to the audience, starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. It goes for 90 minutes, and the phone number is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. And we'd love to have you call in tonight if you'd like. But our point is that I want you to notice that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have guests who come on who are themselves survivors, and they tell their story. And then we have Tuesday and Thursday, which tonight is a Tuesday, we have call-in discussion shows, which is what this should be, which, you know, often is. And they are hosted by a cadre of people who come on once a month, basically, and they lead the discussion if the people show up and they're in the panel. And, next time we have one of these, it'll be Thursday, because it's always Tuesday and Thursday. And the discussion will be led by Michelle Bless, who's a survivor and a minister. And she's one of these authors that Carol was talking about, Out of the Darkness. The Michelle Bless story is her book's name. We've known Michelle a long, long time, too. And she's a really dedicated and very much appreciated person in recovery now, too. So I had gotten that far, Carol. What I didn't mention is that we do these shows five times a week, as I did mention, and there are over 3,000 of these shows, because we have a few hundred that we use a different name on. And there's 2,800 and something with a Stop Child Abuse Now name. So there's a lot of shows. And so to find them, which they're all recorded, and they're all in basically a library, if you know the year something was recorded to, and even better, if you know the month and the year, each one of the pages, which lists shows for each year, at the top right corner has show archives that list the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13 years. About to start the 14th year of shows that are listed here. And again, if you know the date, and year, month and year, you can find these shows. If you know the person's name, you can find these shows. If you know topics, you can do. But you can't necessarily find every topic. What you can do is each of the shows has a pretty involved description of several hundred words, where you can go down the list and you can pick out things that look like they're topics that you'd be interested in. And or survivors that you'd be interested in hearing from, and it's as simple as clicking on the show number, which is the episode number, and it plays for you, and it never goes away. So if you do one of these shows, another thing that's really good about them is we will store them for you, but they're your show as well as ours, and you can link to them in any way you want in emails, in letters, in Facebook pages, on your websites, when you're let's say doing any fundraising, any of those things, because they'll play with the link that's under the number, and so as soon as you click it, it starts to play, and we think it's a pretty good service, huh, Carol? We've got our shows recorded too, and you can find almost everybody who's in NASCA has recorded. Well, many, many people in NASCA have recorded at least one show, and some have been on multiple times. Tell me now, I just came down the front page of the website, and there's something that I didn't mention, but I did mention quite a few. So I'd like to ask you if you could maybe suggest something that our listeners might find interesting about NASCA.
Well, for one thing, we're always here, okay? I don't think there's too many other shows out there where you can contact them quite the same way you can with us, okay? And that's very important, because you never know when you're going to need help. When you're on your healing journey, everybody's at a different level. It doesn't matter. You're on your healing journey, and I'm thankful for that. And, but there may be times, say you have a therapist and you can't call the therapist here. The therapist will get back to you in a day or two, or you don't see the therapist for a week, or whatever the case might be. That's when you can certainly get a hold of NASCA, and, there'll always be someone that can talk to you and help you. We've walked the walk and we talk the talk. Many of us have done presentations. I've done quite a few. I want to get back to doing that, but Yeah, we're in trouble again with the pandemic, the variant, whatever the heck you call it. And the other things are going to get closed down again. I just saw that on the news before I left before, earlier today. But anyway, the point is this. You know, there's a lot of ways. You see, society has got to get more on the ball about child abuse. Child abuse has been around ever since the beginning of time. This is nothing new. And we can't stop it. But what we can do is we can put that dent, as I like to say, Bill, and you know that, in the statistics of child abuse if society would become more involved in wanting to help. I remember back when I was a kid, I sure as heck needed someone to be interested in helping me, but that wasn't the case. And nor was it for Bill. And for many of us, it's not the case. So what we do here at NASCA is with the adults that call in, and, you know, like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and say they don't really have any place to go, of course, you always tell them to come to the show. And listen, you don't have to come on as a panelist. You can just listen, okay? And but we also offer programs, and the programs are very important. I've sent quite a few people to the programs. If you look at the front page of NASCA, that's NAASCA.org, NASCA.org. You will find on the first column, under the red bars, whatever you want to call them there, the red lines, the first one is programs, okay? And that's important to know, because if you're out there and you feel like you're alone, first of all, you don't have to be, because we're here, okay? But on the other hand, if you want to get more involved at where it's not, you know, over the phone or on Zoom, you want to have more of that mingling effect where you can meet people, talk to people face-to-face and stuff like that, as long as it's allowed. That goes by the COVID thing, too. But you go to the programs, and it's very easy to do. You click on to that link, okay, where it says programs. You'll see the world spinning around. And you'll come down to the United States. We do speak with other countries. At times we've had Down Under on. We've had Vietnam on. We've had New England on, you know, the United Kingdom. All different kinds of countries have called in at times, you know, to the show. But we serve mostly the United States. So what you do is you go to your state and you click on to it. It's simple. I'm in New Jersey right now, so I click on to New Jersey. And then what it offers, once the menu, as we call it, drops down, is it offers areas either in your town or very close to your town. Depends on where you live. And this is a way, I've had people call me back and thank me personally, or I've received a few emails, where people have said that it was a successful thing to do. They had found, you know, a program that suited them. Sometimes they offer 2 or 3 in your area if you're more in an urban area. So this is one thing that we offer people too, and we want people to know. And you can call any of us at any time, like myself, because I am the night owl, and we can talk about the programs, and I can explain it to you again, you know, like I'm speaking now. And encourage right. you know, certainly to listen to the shows. The shows are very informative. Right. And so because of the shows being so informative, a lot of people do just listen to the shows. But if they want more, they can do both. It's as simple as that.
Right. Now, let me mention an important thing that I want newcomers to always know about, and that's mm-hmm. what we call the highlights page. There are a couple of places you can get to the highlights page off the front page of the website, including that first pull-down menu that drops down. It's the last link on that menu. But it's also listed in you know, next to NASCA videos, which I recommend, frankly. And NASCA highlights is what we're looking for. And then there's also one just above where the radio show is discussed, highlights. Anyway, the point is click that. Anytime you want, if you're interested in finding a fairly succinct list of kinds of things that NASCA offers, about 30 of them are listed here, and they're short descriptions. So they're 4 or 5 line descriptions, quickly describing what it is that each of these services, and they're all free, remember, provide. So we have the recovery meetings, the ambassador project we didn't talk about, the calendar of events we didn't talk about, the list of recovery groups and services. We have a section that tells you how to start your own recovery meeting, how to get a promotion happening, about the news of the week information that we have, the radio shows. We have a blog. The point is that we have many services that people may not know about, but it's easy to find them if you read these highlights page, because if you see something you want to talk about, you want to read about and learn about, you just click the title that's in the three or four line description, and it'll take you right to the section of the website that where that's discussed, statistics and reports, producing editorials and videos, advocacy and opinions. All these things are, you know, fleshed out in fuller versions on their own separate pages, but you can find a quick version of the list under the highlights page. So I just wanted to mention that, Carol.
Absolutely. And something, too, that I want to mention also, Bill, which has been brought up to me, but with children, now look, we have our survivors, and a lot of them have children, and, you know, they have problems. They're always afraid that they don't want to be like mommy and daddy were to them or whomever. And so they always need parenting skills and they should learn also, too, that, you know, it happened to them where they were, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually neglected, whatever, or maybe all of them. And they should learn how to speak to their children. So I just want to make mention of the fact that protecting our children is one of those in the red lines, which you'll see the blocks. I think I'll call it blocks. Protecting our kids. And you click on to prevention and intervention, which is the first one at the top. And it says prevention is an adult activity. I remember when you posted this, Bill. This is very good. And it's for individuals, for schools and institutions. And then you keep going down. And it also gives you lists of books that we recommend, My Body is My Body. And that's something you can read to your children and so forth. Protecting Child Wherefore, How to Prevent Child Abuse. It's a guide. And then one that I found, which is excellent, unfortunately, the people they house burned the building down, but it was Protecting Your Children, and that's Advice from Child Molesters. Now, these are people who are housed in this building, and they were trying to rehabilitate them, I suppose, which they're not successful, as far as I know, at doing. Saw an article on that just the other day. But the point is they were in there, and they decided to do something good, and that was to write, okay, an article, which Bill has, and it's right here on our website, about child molesters and who they are and how they behave, you know, towards children, how they groom them, and all these things. So you can actually learn about child molesters, and that's very, very, very good to learn. And it's called Protecting Your Children, and then Advice from Child Molesters. And you'll see that as you scroll down, too. Then there's 10 reasons parents don't discuss child sexual abuse. Well, most of that is because they themselves don't know how to go about it. So if you really open up our website, there's all kinds of ways that people speak about how to speak to your children about their bodies and also, too, about, you know, what to look out for, because we can't be with our children 24/7. If they're going to school, if they're lucky enough to go for dance lessons or piano lessons or whatever, a lot of times, yeah, if there's public transportation, if they're old enough to even take that, you know, you have to watch your children, but you can't watch them 24/7. So for God's sake, learn how to watch your children by speaking to them and giving them the education that they need so that they, too, can be mindful if someone approaches them and if they start feeling funny around them and, you know, they feel like they're in danger, you know, you get the heck away from them. and you know, all kinds of things. But it teaches also too how to start speaking to them, when to start speaking to them about their bodies. We've spoken about this on the show how many times. A lot of times kids, when you're giving them a bath, they'll say, "Mommy, Daddy, what's this? What's that?" You know, and people are afraid. Now, see, this is where this comes in. People are afraid. The adults are more afraid than the children. Kids have minds like a sponge. And if you sit and talk to your children about their bodies, these are your breasts, this is your vagina, if it's a little girl, obviously, this is your I want to say the word, if you're a little boy, you know, this is, you know, explain the body parts to them, and don't be bashful about it, because kids can pick up on a different tone in your voice. When you're going over to your, God gave you your head, your shoulders, your breasts, you know, your vagina, your penis, all this stuff, your knees down, your toes, all in the same voice tone. And that way children will not be, you know, bashful. There was a case not too long ago, Bill, which I kind of mentioned on the show the other night, where a kid went into school. It was a little girl, I believe. Yeah, it was a little girl. And she went into school, and she spoke to the teacher, and she said, "Daddy ate my cookie the other day." Well, the teacher thought, well, that wasn't very nice. He ate the kid's cookie. You know, well, the cookie wasn't a cookie. This is child abuse. The father was fondling her and was doing oral sex on her vagina. Now, you see, you have to be rough and tough, though. You have to, because, you see, we live in a rough and tough world. So I don't believe in sugarcoating things. So, but the child had been taught that that's what it was called. It was a cookie. So it took quite a while for that little girl to get help. So, you see, we as parents, we teach our children how to cross the street. We even teach them about stranger danger, somebody hiding in the behind a bush, about the flasher, or about someone who tries to lure them and they'll give them candy, and that's a way of grooming, okay? A little bit about that, but they don't go much further than that. They just say run, which is always a good thing to do. Run, yes. But on the other hand, children need to learn about their bodies. And they have to learn, you know, they're only comfortable many times speaking about the bathing suit area. Many times when I give presentations, I have to gauge my audience. I found that out.
Yeah.
And yeah. If you say the bathing suit area, this is what society seems to be able to accept. I'll be happy when the day comes when you can say vagina, penis, and they won't flinch. I've watched them flinch. I've watched them twist in their seats and get nervous. I've seen this. And these are adults. So, you see, we have to get over that as a society, because what happens to our children are crimes. I call them crimes against children. So if you sit down and you role play with your husband or your significant other, and which is, someone had said, I think it was Pittman, David Pittman in the book, suggested that. I think it's a good idea. If you role play with your, you know, each other first as to how you're going to approach your child or children, then you feel more at ease already because you've already gone over it. I don't care if it takes 10 times. And then you pick a night where you sit down and you start talking. You bond better with your children. Kids are not stupid. Kids can say to themselves, wow, my mom taught me how to cross the street, taught me this, taught me that. My dad taught me this, taught me that. And now they're teaching us this to help keep us safer. And that's a good thing to do with your children, because you have a better bond then. And they will come to you, more apt to come to you, because you haven't acted bashful, because you did lay it out on the table, but in an appropriate way. It teaches you what age level and appropriate way to speak. Okay. And this is very, okay. This is a part of prevention.
Thanks.
And that's very important. And you see, though, like I always say on the shows, the prevention angle, if society would, you know, be more into prevention, to, you know, to teach their children, to work with their children, then just maybe we can help put that dent in the statistics of child abuse.
Right. Now, I want to mention that you can poke yourself all around the website here, and almost on every page you'll find something worth opening up or talking about or reading or whatever. As an example, I forgot this was even here. There's something called the 15-Minute Challenge on the resource page. That's Lori Ann Smith, who's a friend of ours. And I'm going to quickly read it because I think it has a lot of information that's worth, especially a parent out there, an adult out there, who, you know, hasn't really given a lot of thought to this, that it'll come to mind. In other words, this is to shake up our thinking. So it's the 15-Minute Challenge. It's at the bottom of the resource page. By Lori Ann Smith. I ask everyone who cares about the issues of child abuse and the protection of children to take the 15-minute challenge. Whether you set a timer for 15 minutes or just watch the clock, I ask you to take 15 minutes to think about how much we can do in 15 minutes or how little, but what each 15 minutes looks like to a child who is being beaten, burned, sexually abused, raped, or sodomized. 15 minutes is not a lot of time to most people. Waiting for the coffee to park, going to pick up the newspaper, waiting for the in the traffic during rush hour, getting in the grocery store line, brushing your teeth, and catching up on some of the late-night news before bedtime. But 15 minutes to a child who's being sexually abused in any way can have tragic and fatal consequences. 15 minutes of a child being sexually abused, raped, sodomized will change their life forever. When the predators of the abuse, perpetrators of the abuse, the child sexual predators, the pedophiles, family members, and other members of our society get their 15 minutes of gratification, the child is impacted with physical problems, emotional problems, and psychological problems for life. 15 minutes to a child who is being abused in any way is a life sentence. 15 minutes is how long it took for my abuser to bind and gag me, rape and sodomize me, sexually abuse me. And while this person got their 15 minutes of gratification sexually, I got a life sentence of pain in every way. All it took was 15 minutes to turn an eight-year-old into a sex toy for my abuser. Children cannot wait 15 minutes for someone to protect them, for someone to care, for something to be done. Please take 15 minutes every now and then and put yourself in the abused child's body and mind and remember why so many of us are fighting so hard to save them. Thanks for all you do to help child abuse, help stop child abuse and save children's lives. Lori Ann Smith, NASCA supporter, Canada. And I think that's really powerful. And we didn't expect that. It was just a gift that was given to us. And boy, very powerful.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, I was with Lori for 2 years before she introduced me to your show. And somewhere in there she had written that. Okay. And I use that at times when I'm running the show because only a few times I've read that. It is very, very powerful. It's excellent. And you know, it speaks about, you know, you can picture, it's not something nice to picture, but you can certainly empathize. You know, you feel the empathy for this child who is in that position. And unfortunately, there's far too many of us who have been there like that. So this hits home. It hits home because this is what happens so many times in our home. And that's something, too, that needs to be more spoken about is, you know, all of the abuse so often does happen in the home. And then the kids, where do they go? You know? Who do they tell?
Well, we've talked about intervention and prevention and so forth earlier when you weren't here, so I don't want to cover, you know, twice. But
I didn't know what you'd done.
But, you know,
it was late.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But the point is that it's a really important topic, and there's plenty of information about these. And, you know, we're going to be adding to it. We're never going to take this information away. And it's a regular topic for us here at NASCA to talk about the issue itself to educate the public, and then to offer hope and healing for prevention, intervention, and recovery to anyone who wants it, intervention. Let's see, what else can we talk about? I did a series of NASPA videos. We don't talk about this very often. They're listed on the front page of the website near the top of the page. And if you open that page and pull down, you're going to see that we have a section here with 15 different videos. Each of these is short. They're very short. And they are explanations of some of the topics that you'll find in the NASCA website and the NASCA, you know, shows and so forth. And I think they might be easier for people to pull down, go to a certain topic, because the topics are separated. That's how there's 15 of them. And click on the topic, and it'll play for you. And, we explain sort of the variations of the topic are all about. And then down below them, we have the song Forgotten, which is the song that was written by Carol's son. He and his brother band members put it together as a gift for us, and they gave it to us some years ago now. But it's the song that you'll hear at the top and the bottom of the radio shows every time. Here it's offered in its full version. It's called Forgotten, and it runs 3 minutes and 12 seconds, so you can download it, and you're free to use it however you want. Then there's a couple other videos interviews with Deborah Mayberry, the 30 essays and 30 posters that are listed here, and they're pretty good, if I didn't say so myself.
There's always a lot to see. There's a lot to see, Bill. You know, with David's song, I don't know if people realize this, so I don't talk about it too often, but, the bass player, my son plays lead, and the bass player played with the Rolling Stones, and he lived in Hackettstown, for God's sake, which isn't far from where I am right now, and he would go on tour with them, and then also, too, when, if one of the Rolling Stones was down or something, they had, someplace they had to go, they'd call him. And Niles, his name is Niles, he would go and go on tour with him. He's not married or anything, but Niles, not that I know of anyway, but he'd go on tour with him. And so that was pretty cool when I found that out. And so that song is special to me because, first of all, the wording, I like the words, and I know the singer. And my son can play a mean guitar when he wants to. he can play very, very rough. He plays anything from country to heavy metal to regular, rock and roll to blues, you name it, he can play it. And my husband, who's deceased, my second husband, taught him 5 chords, and that was it. He went from there. So we have our talents, and my son, too, had problems growing up, and which I didn't realize because, you see, Bill, so often we know this as survivors. You keep your mouth shut, especially if you're a guy. And I found out not long ago that my son was touched, and I didn't know this. He didn't tell me until he was, in his late 40s, early 50s, whatever. Yeah, something like that, late 40s. And then I found out. So we always urge people out there, to, for God's sake, if you know someone who's been abused and they're younger, encourage them to get the help that they need. Tell them to tell their story. Tell them to, to open up. Because it's not our shame. It's not our blame. It's the guy or the gal. I mean, we don't mention the woman very often, do we? Who touched us. So that's something to keep in mind.
All right. Yeah. Let's finish off the show with a couple of topics that I see we haven't touched on yet, but I want to include. And I've been just kind of pulling down the front page of the website for a lot of this. But now near the bottom of the page, it talks about please contribute and donate. We're self-supporting. This is important for people to know if they don't know it, that we don't get any grants. We don't get any, you know, special money from any group. None of us are rich. but we all have contributed, whatever we can afford to the Treasury, which sustains NASCA. And it doesn't have to be a big treasury, but it has to be sustained. So there's a way to contribute that you go through a PayPal system. And it's really helpful to us if you make recurring contributions. That can be, you know, $5. It can be $20. We have both. Some people can afford one, some the other. Or if you want to do a one-time donation of $100, that's fine too. But it's set up so to you decide how it is that you would like to make the contribution. So, again, look at the donate buttons on the front page of the website. I say next to it, we're fighting for kids and serving adults, adult survivors. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero. And then below that, I want you to, there's a reminder, but also an invitation for volunteers, meaning you who's listening. As I said before, you're a volunteer. You're a member of NASCA if you say you are. And we have many jobs in the NASCA community that need volunteers. In fact, all of them do. There is no paid staff. And right now there are several things that are dying. We're dying to have people take up responsibility for. Obviously you need to have some set of skills that's equal to the volunteer position that you're applying for. You have to have the time to do it, obviously, and and then the interest, because we'll put you to work. We have a lot of things here, and if you get in touch with us, either Carol or I can set you up to become a volunteer. We would love that. We appreciate any fundraising, any outreach, which fundraising is too, or promotion. Telling people about the services that we provide, telling them about recovery and so forth. You can get blue ribbons and have them at when we eventually have meetings again. They're in-person meetings, which I'm sure is coming up. But you'll be able to distribute these in meeting spaces. And they're just a small little reminder. We also have information that's available. We call them promotional tools. And promotional tools, again, under the first pull-down menu, the red pull-down menu, promotional tools shows you some of the tools that we have to offer, including T-shirts and business cards and pamphlets and, pens and all kinds of stuff. We don't make any money on these. There is a PayPal there to deal with it too. We don't make any money on these, as I said. These are the cost that comes from the company, Vistaprint. But they do use our logo and so forth and email address, or URL, so that it promotes us. So look at that as well, because, it doesn't hurt to have some cards in your pocket, and when you're walking around, hand them out. That's outreach. We also have a mobile website. We have an ambassador project. We haven't even talked about that, but it very quickly is it's an attempt to have at least one identified person in each state and province who is committed to NASCA and is kind of on standby for people who want more information, perhaps from the area that they're in, and it's called the Ambassador Project. There are some states or provinces that don't have ambassadors, so there's an example of a place where a person can volunteer, or they can become an ambassador to whatever place doesn't have one right now. We also have a calendar of events that we list every year, whatever we can find in each, again, section of the country, each state or each province. Right now there aren't as many as there used to be because there aren't as many meetings. But we'll start filling up the calendar once we once we see that these events are coming back to online. I recommend that people, at a minimum, they get in touch with us through this radio show, because the radio show, if you get here, Carol, and we can hear your voice, you can start to learn things. You can ask questions on many of these shows. Most of them have special guests who are, none of us are doing what we have to do. We're all doing what we want to do. But we have special guests who present recovery from their perspective, their kind of recovery. And then, as I said before, earlier in the show, before Carol got here, you get to choose, what kind of recovery you're going to have. And you're not locked into it either. You can start with one kind and then, switch to something else and try that out for a while. Whatever you want, whatever gets you there. And I'll tell you, I did not mention it, but, the statistics, which I mentioned, that were done a few years ago, showed that typical trauma victim who was abused in their childhood doesn't really start to get help commonly, the average one, until their 40s, their early 40s. And, so if you're anywhere around there, or even if you're older, you're right on time. Okay? Because nobody is too old or too young to understand that, what happened to us as children greatly affected us ever since. And like I said, with the Take 15 Minutes article, it doesn't take very long for a child's whole life to be disturbed by that 15 minutes. So, Carol, why don't you give us a couple of minutes of final thought here?
Goodbye. Okay, what I'd like to say to everyone out there is keep your chin up. We're living in a wild world right now, and there's a lot of people who are being triggered by all the things that are happening, outside in the streets and so forth, because they came from a violent background, and they see violence out there. And, of course, there's, violence where people are actually being shot at, they're being killed, whatever. And they can't handle it, and they go into meltdown, and that takes them back a few steps, to say the least, in their recovery. But, what we have to do is we have to focus on ourselves. We have to focus on staying, on our recovery, and also focus on staying safe. And I may not agree with all the things with the masks and all this stuff, because I've had my vaccines and stuff, whatever's being said out there. Because people talk to me about this. It's one of their fears. Just follow it. It's easier. And a lot of stores won't let you in unless you have a mask anyway. Do they know 100% what they're talking about? I don't know. But, what's a mask, right? Now, some people actually have trouble wearing a mask, Bill, because they had a hand around their mouth many times when they were being abused. And they say that triggers them. And then that keeps them many more times isolated. For God's sake, do not isolate yourself. Go get help. Be around people that you trust, and rather than to isolate yourself. Because if you go into self-isolation, then whatever triggers you might have or whatever problems you might have can come back tenfold. Okay? So that's my advice to you, is to reach out. We're here. I'm here. I'm the night owl. I'll talk your head off, and you'll go, hey, Carol, I got to go sleep now. Okay. I'll say, you want me to sing you a song? Okay. Some say, okay, Bill. I have to sing them a song. It's silly, but I like to sing anyway. So I always try to get, a little humor in with things, because, if we don't have humor, and sometimes we're down so low, and many of us have been there, that we can't laugh. So I suggest to people, okay, if the holiday blues are coming back to you right now because of Christmas, and you have the Christmas Story. I watched that the other night. I love that movie, The Christmas Story. But if things like that bother you, then stay away from it. Find something that's happy on the TV. Read books. Go out. Be around people if you can. And, wear your mask. And, take one day at a time. One day at a time. Make little goals for yourself. I'm going to go out today and I'm gonna do something. You must just walk around a park or whatever, but I'm gonna do that. Always push forward. Try not to look backward, because we cannot change the past, but what we can do is change ourselves. Okay, and that's how, you know, learning how to live life and to enjoy life, so we can change ourselves. That we can do. We can heal.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, the easiest way to heal is doing it together, which is what mask is all about. It's a community. So nobody feels, you know, we all have felt for years, most of us have felt isolated, like nobody's going to understand us, like somehow it was our fault, and with low self-esteem and all kinds of these kinds of feelings. And when we meet Nazca, we're shocked because there are people like us, a lot of them. And they're talking all the time about the issues that we've been hiding for years. But it's so such a relief to have this group of people who want to hear from you. They want to hear what you have to say. And, boy, that's new for that's fresh for a bunch of newcomers who come to us and they've never been in recovery before. So don't miss that experience. You know, come along. There's lots of us who want to be involved with you. You know, you never have to be alone again a day at a time if you don't want to be.
That's right.
So, again, yeah. So, again, we have many programs, all of them free. We are always here because the website's always up. And, you know, if you look for the contact list, which is obvious to find on the front page, you can pick out the person or persons that you would like to try to get to know. And over time, you know, you might end up with four people that you talk to occasionally. Well, that's more than you had. It's four more. And, you know, maybe it's only one. But that's 100% more than you had if you're alone.
That's right.
So, that's right. You know, so use these lists. And that's why people have their name here, because we asked them to do so, and they said, okay. And so it's a by permission thing, you know. You know, add yourself to our newsletter list, listen to this radio show, listen to the scan meeting, yes, I don't know what it's called. Zoom meetings, or participate in them. Boy, there's so much to do. It's hard to be bored if you are, you know, staying involved with something like this, because there's so much
to do.
That's
right.
We also have primary volunteers that list their phone numbers, and that's maybe somewhat different than the other page, but you can call them too. And, you know, we're talking about maybe a few dozen names between the two resources, the contacts and the primary volunteers, and then the ambassadors. You know, I mean, come on, so many people.
There's a lot. There's a lot that people can get involved with. And one thing too, I want to say before we end, because we only have like a minute left. One thing I want to tell people: the more you tell your story, or the more you get involved with, you know, like handing out cards, and I suggest people get those cards. They're very good. I have hundreds of them now. And the blue ribbons. Or making copies of something that's very simple on our page, you know, the 10 signs of child abuse, and handing them out. But for God's sake, you ask permission first, okay, if you go into a store. And you explain, I'm a representative of NASCAR. That's all you have to say. And people let you in. And they will let you post that. And, you know, that's getting the NASCA name out there. Make sure NASCA's on top so that people know where it's coming from. And, you know, and there you go. You've helped. You're helping. People always look at bulletin boards when they go into stores, Bill. You ever notice that? Yep. They might have things up there they want to sell or whatever. So you put that up there, and they'll see that. So that's one way you can help, too. Okay.
All right, well, we have to end up the show here, Carol, but I want to thank you sincerely for having come in here and spent the back half of the show anyway with me. And I also want to thank anyone who was listening from the top and tell you, you know, come back again, try it. And, you know, give us another chance. 646-595-2118 is the number that we use every night. This is Bill Murray and Carol Levine, talking to you from California and New Jersey, respectively, saying Good night. God bless. And may God bless the children. Bye-bye now, Carol.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Night.
Another tomorrow. Cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.